Good evening. Boy, it's freezing, amen. Because I'm visiting from Cambodia, where it's average 95, 96 degrees. And I get here, and I'm freezing to death, amen. I'm also not used to wearing a shirt and tie, amen, Brother Johnny? And this is the first time since July that I put on a shirt and a tie. And I still look good, amen. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what my wife tells me anyway. But what a blessing it is to be back visiting with the Great Pacific Baptist Church. And of course, this is my stomping grounds, and my wife and I, we grew up here. And we're so thankful for our home church. And we're grateful to be back and see familiar faces. And also not just familiar faces, but there's a ton of new faces. And I'm so thankful that our church, we're continuing to reach out to people with the gospel, and just a blessing to be back home for a short visit. I got here last week. I believe it was last week. I forget. I've been sick since I got here. So 2 days ago, I slept for 18 hours. And I think I'm awake now. Amen. But I'm glad that I got over whatever I had and I'm able to be up here tonight. Now, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Sarah Vong, and I'm a missionary sent out of Pacific Baptist Church, and I'm just thankful that we have a church that prays for us, supports us, and we're serving there in the country of Cambodia with our team. And in just a bit, I want to go old-fashioned a little bit and do a slideshow, and if you would allow me. I know sometimes during missionary presentations, you know, the pillows come out, the blankets come out, but I'm going to try to make it a little bit exciting, if you would, or try to at least. But I just want to, on behalf of my family, my wife, and our 7 kids, I just want to thank you, Pacific Baptist Church, for praying for us, for loving us, and it's just exciting to be able to come back and visit. We leave on Tuesday. You pray for that trip. May it be an uneventful trip, amen. And we're traveling with my parents. Both my mom and dad will be going to Cambodia with us for a good visit, and they're going to come back. But the reason why I'm here is because my wife kicked me out of the house. No, I'm just kidding. I'm here because to pick up my parents and pick up paces, amen. And then we're heading back to Cambodia. And let's go ahead and start the video or the slideshow. And if I may, I'd like to use this microphone here. Just turn it on, or is it already on? Test. Okay. Perfect. All right. So we were on furlough last year, and we went back to Cambodia in July, and so we're so thankful that God has called us back to the country of Cambodia, when we got back, we were just chomping at the bits to get back, and we got back safely, and everybody was plump in July, and then we lost some weight gradually, and so the family arrived in July. That's our picture there, and you'll see the pictures as we progress, how much the kids, how they lost weight. Okay, so let's move on to the next. Actually, I can control it. I forgot. I'm sorry, forgot about technology. Okay, all right, so here are my ladies, okay? Got my wife, Lydia, and Lois. Now, Lois, I don't know where she get her curly hair from, but she never has a bad hair day, amen? And Lois is right there with our new addition, Lara, and wanted to show you the picture of, sorry, let's see here. Okay, so we're missing a picture. All right, love it when technology works. So anyway, so we have here Titus. You know, the blessing of having serving the Lord on the mission field with family is my children get to serve the Lord in the ministries that we're a part of. And here's Titus just preparing for our children's ministry. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for their service every Sunday. They're a part of the ministry there. And what a blessing it is to see him serve. Also, we got here, you know, of course, just because you're on the mission field doesn't mean you don't go to school, amen? And so we have homeschool there, and I was just doing a sneak peek to see what's going on over there. And Lydia's doing her work, and Tyler's snoozing, amen. He's just enjoying his time there with the Lord. And so there he is. And just wanted to show this picture of Lois one more time, because when Lois was here, she was bald. And when she got back, and she has a full head of hair, and just want to show you that picture. We're all doing great. Thank you for asking about our family. When we got back to Cambodia, of course, Brother Board came on furlough. And so when he came back, I was given the responsibility to oversee our married couples class, and the Lord allowed us to invest in that ministry there, and we were able to see just many couples come and grow in the Lord, and we're just so thankful to be a part in the married couples class. You know, it's exciting to see new believers anxious to get into the Word of God so that they can raise their family up in a good biblical foundation. And so we're excited to be a part in ministering to, in the married couples class. And so that's what we've been doing since we got back. And so here's just a picture of when we're teaching there. And in Cambodia, it's also multi-ethnic, amen? You see there, there's a Canadian man, part of our small group. He married a Cambodian lady, so he's there meeting with us. And I'm thankful that we were able to not just reach Cambodian nationals, but also reach different people groups there as well. And let's see here. Okay. And so this is just a picture of the small groups, winners from our small group. We were able to take them out to get some food. And, you know, of course, us Baptists, we need to have food. Amen. And so now many of them have never had the opportunity to eat out at a place like the place that we took them in. It's funny, some of the ladies, they've never been into a modern mall, and they're frightened at the escalator. And so here they are just trying to get on the escalator, scared to death. And so it's funny to see that. And there's another group there. Now, you may notice this is predominantly all ladies. Of course, myself, because I'm paying for the whole deal there. But you notice Adrian, Brother Adrian there, amen? Well, here's the reason why Brother Adrian's there is because if there's food, he's there, amen? And so that's the reason why Brother Adrian's there. He's not married yet. You pray for him. But he was able to join us. Actually, he drove for us, so we're thankful for that. Of course, since July, I've been teaching our Bible Institute. And so I'm just thankful for the opportunity to invest in our people and train our nationals in the knowledge of God's Word. And so that's one of the pictures from our Bible Institute. Also have the privilege to teach in the Bible College. Here we have our college staff and their families along with our college students. And so thankful that for the opportunity to invest in the next generation. And okay, and not only that, you know, over at Pacific Baptist Church in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, we personally make an effort in discipling the new believers and our national believers. And so my wife here is pictured with Paulette, one of our young mothers, and so she has the privilege to disciple her on a weekly basis. So we're thankful for that opportunity. And I'm thankful for my wife. I don't know. Look, I can never be a mother because I'm a man. Amen. But the thing is this. Man, that's a full-time job, being a mother, being a wife. And not only just a mother of seven children. And so I don't know how she does it. But I did pay her big bucks to marry me. So... And so I also have been discipling several folks as well. In particular, I want to specifically show this picture. This is Chiet and his wife, Srei Let. Chiet got saved last year, and Srei Let got saved in May during our family camp. And so they've been growing in the Lord, and I'm just so thankful and pleased to see their spiritual growth. And just pray for this couple because of their testimony. In just a bit, I'll show you a picture of their parents. Because of their testimony, Srele's parents got saved. And so thankful for their growth and their example. You know, because of your investment, there's fruit. And the reason why we're showing pictures is because we want to show you what your investment has yielded. You know, today the stock market kind of went down a little bit, okay, because of the tariff that President Trump mentioned about as far as dealing with China. And so the stock market kind of went down a little bit. Well, let me say something. The investment that you put in Cambodia will always continue to yield dividends. And so pictured here is one of our young men, Visna, and his parents, Brother Sokvan and his wife. A couple years ago, I was able to lead both of them to the Lord, and I'm just so thankful that they're growing. And Brother Sokvan, he comes to church every Sunday evening, and just a blessing to see their spiritual growth, and all because of who? Their son. They see the difference that Jesus made in the life of their son, and because of that, they got saved. I'm so thankful for their example. And Sunday nights, Mr. Sokvan, you know, it's awesome to see fruit bearing fruit. And so Brother Sokvan comes with his moped, and he brings the children from the neighborhood to church. It's just a blessing to see his servant spirit there. And and next door to Mr. Sokvan is his cousin. And his cousin also got saved. A picture, actually, she's, and she brought her sister to come so that she could be dealt with salvation. And it's just a blessing to see our people are concerned for the salvation of their relatives. And so had the opportunity to spend some time witnessing to her. And I'm just thankful that our people love the Lord and want to see their relatives get saved. Here's Srelet and Chiet. And pictured with us is Srelet's family. And that day, Srelet's mom and dad got saved. And just a blessing to see fruit. And it's all because of you folks. And so thank you so much for investing in our family. Here's another man that got saved, pictured next to me. We have different ministries that we're involved with, and this ministry is the workout ministry. Amen. Every Monday, Tuesday, and some other day, I would take a group of guys to go work out. And Savot was able to join us. Savot is a byproduct of our Stung Min Che ministry, and he got saved that day. And so what a blessing it is to see fruit. And I want to show you that picture of him. We're also involved in another ministry that we started when we went back to the field, working with, we don't like to call them deportees, okay, but we call them returnees. And these guys have been shipped back to Cambodia on a one-way ticket. And so what we try to do is we try to build a relationship with them. We try to love on them, and because of that, we've been able to see two guys come to church faithfully, and one of them pictured in the middle there in black and with Brother Johnny's haircut. His name is Johnny, okay, and Johnny got saved, got baptized, and just so thankful to be able to reach these guys for the Lord. And this is Johnny pictured with me. He got baptized that day. And, you know, of course, going back to a country, of course, that's their country of origin, but they've never really lived there. And to go back and just feel out of place, that's a sensitive and slippery time for them. And so we're able to get them and reach them. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to win Johnny to the Lord. I want to tell you this story real quick. This is, you know, I'm thankful for Miss Michelle Hardesty. She's such a blessing to our ministry there over at Pacific Baptist Church in Phnom Penh. And pictured here with Michelle in the middle there is a young lady by the name of Malie. Malie, was brought to church by her aunt. And so she's heard the gospel, but she was unclear. And that day, she was able to hear a full presentation of the gospel, and she bowed her head and got saved. And the awesome thing about Malie is this: because of her decision to follow Christ, and because it's real, after she got baptized, she went back home. Her village is about 2.5 hours away, and she lived a life that's becoming of a Christian. And because of that, her brother got saved. As a matter of fact, what happened was, when she got home, before eating, before going to bed, she would bow her head and she would pray. And her brother is wondering, what is this girl doing? Why is she bowing her head? And why is she gossiping about me? Or what is she doing? And so he had questions. He was wondering. And not only that, he saw a difference in her life. And so when he came to the capital city, he visited our church, sought me, started asking questions, and asked specifically what Malie was doing, bowing her head. What is she doing? What is that? What's praying? And so I was able to explain to him. I taught him, Brother Ray, for about 2.5 hours that night, but he rejected. I was kind of bummed out. He rejected. And then the next day, we had our big celebration service, and his name is Sra. Sra came up to me and he said, "Hey, Lukru, teacher, I'm ready to get saved now. I'm ready to get saved now." And he told me I could not, he said, "I could not sleep the whole night. I was thinking about what you told me. I didn't want to die and lose this opportunity." And well, what happened was that night when I was teaching him, I gave him a lot of caffeine, amen. So that was my trick there. I gave him a lot of caffeine, kept him up all night. And the next morning he came to me and he said, "I couldn't sleep." Well, I know why, amen. But no, the Holy Spirit did convict him. By the way, if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you, you really can't get saved. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the job. And I'm thankful that Sra responded, and he got saved that day, and he got baptized the next hour. And so I'm so thankful for him. And he went back and started witnessing to his people in the village there. And of course, I want to show you this video. Not only have we started dealing with returnees, not only have we helped in the small group and discipling people, we also have been a part of going to a new village called Romdeng. And Romdeng is in another province. It's about 5 hours away from the capital city. So we go there on a weekly basis. And right when we get off the car, we have to go another 45 minutes by moped. And I just want to show you a quick footage of what we have to go through to get to the village. And so, guys, if you can help me out, okay, here it is. And so, there's some of the roads part of the road that we need to go through. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Of course, that's not the River Jordan, but it's pretty close.
Here it is.
Yes, yes.
Yeehaw.
Right there, folks. That's what we have to go through back there.
Okay, man.
And so, with a bad back, Brother Board can't go. So we get to go, and what a joy it is to be able to travel and share the gospel with the folks in the village there. And God has really blessed with fruit. And so I'm going to show you some pictures. Apologize about that picture, but just wanted to that picture was supposed to be blurrier, if that's a word. You see here a bowl of some grilled meat and some stir-fried meat. You're probably wondering, Brother Vaughn, what is that? Okay, well, anyway, needless to say, this last time home back in Cambodia, we also were afforded the privilege to eat some natural meat. Amen. So, I wasn't the only one. As you can see there, the picture there, Michelle, she was able to partake as well. And all for the sake of the gospel, amen, all for the sake of the gospel. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't want to offend either, because the couple that prepared it for us, he was so excited. He was, and I wasn't excited. And you know what Miss Michelle did? It just killed it for me. She got one of the piece of meat, not the grilled one, the other one, And she started pulling it apart, and I saw the sinew and everything, and I just couldn't contain myself. Anyway, so I just want to show you that, what missionaries have to go through sometimes. And I remember Pastor. You know, Pastor, he loved the Cambodian people. And so whatever the Cambodian folks put in front of him, he ate. I don't know if he ate it all, but he ate it, amen. And so I just wanted to do what our preacher did. Here's a byproduct of that ministry in Romdeng. Pictured there is Sopane. Sopane got saved when Malik got saved. A week after Malik got saved, the young lady that you saw earlier. And she is not Cambodian. She's actually Kui, another people group that resides in Cambodia. And so she got saved, lived her a great testimony. And I just received news a week ago that her husband, Nay, also accepted Christ as a Savior. And so we're so thankful that, you know, our labor is not in vain. And so God's opening up many doors in that village. And their line of work is they dig for gold. Now, you hear the word gold, and you're like, cha-ching. No. They make about $1.50 a day. They basically work for Chinese people. And so they basically slave labor for $1.50 a day. In that village as well, this is Sopane's brother. Because Sopane got saved, and because she lived the life that she's supposed to live, her brother Soki also accepted Christ as Savior. And that's Soki there. And Soki came to Phnom Penh. He got baptized. By the way, he's not really Batman, all right? He's just wearing the Batman shirt. But that day, we had Batman and Superman get saved that day. And so Soki followed the Lord in believer's baptism. In that village, that's Kim Hong, the lady dressed in green shirt there. Kim Hong got saved, and pictured with her is her husband, Miet. And Miet, he's really close to getting saved. So you pray for him. He's been watching his wife, and I'm just so thankful for the testimony of our believers there in that village. Because of their testimony, many more opportunities are given to us to share the gospel. And so if you would, please pray for the village in Romdeng. We're looking to, Lord willing, to start a church very, very soon here. Of course, we're going there every week. And so we're excited to see what the Lord has in store for us over there. And I just want to thank you so much for investing in our family. And thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your text messages. Thank you for your emails. Many of you keep in contact with us on a regular basis. And I want to thank you for keeping us encouraged. Thank you for loving your missionaries there in Southeast Asia, Cambodia. Just so thankful for our family here. And, of course, thankful for our team in Southeast Asia. And thank you so much for investing in the lives of Cambodia. We're going to go and turn it off right now. If you would also pray for, as I mentioned, the village in Romdeng. Lord willing, hopefully in July, we're able to start a church there. And so God has really blessed there, and we pray that God would give us clarity on that. And you pray for that. Also pray for May. In the month of May, we have our family conference. And a lot of our nationals are saving up money to be able to be a part of that family conference, a family camp, if you would. And so pray that the Lord would use that to strengthen the families there in Cambodia. And so, as of course our slogan for many years here at Pacific Baptist is a family-friendly church. And so that we try to emulate that there in the country of Cambodia. And so you pray for that. It's in May. And again, I can't thank you enough for being such a blessing to our family. And we're supposed to end at 8 o'clock? Okay, amen. I got 5 minutes, amen. And so, I just want to be an encouragement to you tonight. Don't worry. I'm not going to be like Brother Adrian last year. Brother Ross. Brother Adrian would always make fun of us that we would go over our time. And I remember last year on a Thursday when he was giving his update, I think he went like 30 minutes over or something like that. And so I promise I'll only go over 29 minutes. But if you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn to Acts. Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. I want to talk about the subject of being in one, being with one accord, or being in one accord. Not Tundra, okay, Brother Ross. Not Odyssey, Brother Chim. Not Tacoma, okay, but accord, amen. Be in one accord. Some of you get that joke. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. But Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and stand with me, if you would. And let's look at Acts chapter 1. We'll look at verse number 12 to 14, and then we're going to skip to verse 23. We're going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And then we're going to pray after we read the scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Verse number 23. "And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." So in this passage of scripture here, we see that Matthias was chosen to be the apostle in Judas's stead. And so the one thing that I want us to focus on is this. The phrase, one accord. One accord. Let's pray real quick and ask God to help us this evening, and then we'll have you be seated. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the word, the Bible. Thank you for the song that was just sung a moment ago about we are able to stand on the truth of your word. Thank you so much for providing your word for us so that we can grow, so that we can have direction in our life. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help us this evening. Help me, Lord, to be a conduit. Help me to convey and relay the message that you would put in my heart this evening, and help me to be a blessing and an encouragement to my dear brothers and sisters. I pray that you'd help us to be open-minded and Lord, receive and not only listen, but apply what we've heard in our lives this evening. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The phrase that I want to point out and draw out this evening is one accord. One accord. The passage that we just read, we see the word, the pronoun, they, on many occasions. As a matter of fact, we see it at least six times in the verses that we just read. And the peculiar phrase that we see, these all continued with one accord. The word one accord, there's some synonyms of one accord would be union, okay? What is union? Something that is made one, something formed by a combining or coalition of parts or members, okay? Another synonym is unified, okay? The word one accord can be defined as unified as well. To make into a unit or a coherent whole, unite. You see the word unity, okay? Unity, what is that? The quality or state of not being multiple, a condition of harmony in one accord, okay? Another synonym would be unanimous, okay? Unanimous, what is unanimous? Being of one mind, agreeing. And so we see here the apostles and the folks that were represented there in Acts chapter 1, they were in this together. They were in it together. And this evening, I want to just bring that thought. Church, we need to be in this together. If we want to do something great for God, we got to be in one accord. We got to be unified. There has to be unity. There has to be a union. We need to be unanimous. We need to be unanimous. You know, I was talking to Brother Wayne earlier. How many together campaigns did we have? Too many to number, amen? We had a lot of together campaign. Why? There's a call for unity. If we want to see the building being built, we got to do it together. We got to do it together in one accord. And so God desires for his people to be of one mind, to be unified, to be unanimous. And so this evening, I just want to encourage us from the book of Acts that we need to make an effort to be unified. And we see that the early church was successful. You know, of course, and I use the term successful light loosely, but we see here that one of the ingredients, the main ingredient is the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. But one of the other ingredients, if you would, is because they're unified. We see the term one accord multiple times in the book of Acts. If you would, let's stay here in in chapter 1, verse 24. Let's look at verse number 24 with me real quick. What are some things that they were unanimous in or of one accord? What is it? Okay. In Acts chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Folks, we see that the early church, the reason why they're able to do great things for God is they were unanimous in prayer. They were unanimous in prayer. They prayed together. You know, we have corporate prayer at Pacific Baptist in Long Beach. We have corporate prayer at Pacific Baptist in Phnom Penh. Every morning on Wednesday, 6:30 a.m., we have prayer. We have a short devotion. If Brother Board gives the devotion, it can be a longer devotion, amen. But we have a devotion, and then we pray together. You know, it's a blessing to see our folks come out and pray. Before they go to school, before they go to work, they come to the Lord's house, and they pray. Corporate prayer is a necessity if you want a church, that's pleasing to the Lord. And we see that these folks of the early church, they were unanimous in prayer. One of the things we use to gauge the health of our church is the attendance of our prayer meetings. In the morning, certain months when it's kind of slim picking, our church is not as healthy as it ought to be. And so if we want to do great things like the early church, we need to be together in prayer. We need to pray. Quickly here, I don't have much time. Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. What else are they unanimous in? What else are they in one accord with? Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, what's the next few words, class? With one accord in one place. So we see here, why were they in one place, in one accord? For what? Verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we see here they were filled with the they were together waiting for the power of God. You know, church, if we want to see great things happen, we need to be together and pray and wait for the power of God. We can't do anything without the power of God. You know, sometimes we think about what the Lord's doing there in country Cambodia. It's easy for me sometimes to say, man, we did well, Brother Ray. We're doing great. Man, we're seeing souls saved. People are being discipled. We're seeing fruit that remains. And then God hits me on the back of the head and say, no, it's because of me. It's because of my power. And so without the power of God, we can't do anything. And so if we want to see our church move forward and see the ministry here in Long Beach, the ministry in Cambodia, do something great for God, we need to be unanimous in waiting for the power of God. We need God's power. Quick, do you want the power of God upon your church? Quickly here, what else are they unanimous in? Let's look at verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. Verse 46. The Bible says in verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And so we see here the term one accord again. What are they in one accord with in the house of God? Hey, folks, why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? So that Brother Ross can get off our backs and we don't get text messages from him? I don't come to this church and he still text messages me. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Folks, we come to church because that's what God wants us to do. God commands that we come to church. And we see here the early church, the reason why they were able to do what they are doing is because they were unanimous in the house of God. They came when the doors are open. You know, part of the reason why I am what I am today, Brother Ray, is because, man, back then our church used to have services Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday, something's going on Fridays, Saturdays, bus ministry, Sunday, morning, afternoon, evening. I was in church every day of the week, almost. I was in church every time the doors are open. You know, God wants his children to come to his house. And if we want to see great things happen, if we want to see God do a great work in our life, we need to come to church. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're in church tonight. I understand that. But, you know, I encourage you, continue being faithful. Come to church. Be unanimous. Be of one accord in the house of God. We need the house of God more than ever. I can't stress that enough. So we see, my question to you is, how's your church attendance? You know, every year we get the checklist, you know, Sunday morning. We still pass that out? Okay, good. And so we pass that out. And, hey, we shouldn't be passing those things out, to be quite frank with you. Hey, that should be a Cambodian term, automatic, okay? It should be automatic. It should be automatic. You should come to church. Why? Because I want God, you should want God's blessings, amen? And so, unanimous in prayer, unanimous in waiting for the power of God, unanimous in the temple, in the church. And let's look at Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Lastly here, Acts chapter 8. Not only were they unanimous in the temple, we see here in Acts chapter 8, verse 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." They were unanimous in willingly hearing the message. They were unanimous in wanting to hear what the preacher said. You know, we can come to church, but sometimes our mind is preoccupied with certain things. We especially on Thursday, those of you that work a full-time job, you come straight from your job to church, you haven't eaten a meal yet. Sometimes, you know, if I were you, I know what I'd be thinking. Brother Dan, I'd be thinking, man, what's for dinner, amen? What's cooking? Man, this preacher's long-winded. Look, it's past 8 already, and he's not done yet. And, man, I can't wait to hit Jack in the Box or Subway or 7-Eleven. Boy, I miss those joints. I really do. So, hey, when we're in the house of God, let's listen, amen? Let's listen. Let's receive the blessing that he has for us. God wants us to be of one accord, like-minded. If we want to do great things for the Lord, church, let's be of one accord. Let's be unified. Our church, you know, we're going through, several transitions, different things that we're going through. I encourage you. You know, honestly, Brother Johnny, I'm blessed to come back and see what the Lord's still doing here and continue to do here. And I'm blessed to see our church. There's unity in our church. And so, church, I'm just encouraging you, continue to be unified. Continue to, you know, the devil wants nothing more than to, for somebody or someone or just to sow discord among the brethren. That's what he wants to do. Lastly here, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, please. There's two things that disrupt unity. And I encourage you, two things that the Lord has shown me here in Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 3. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And in this verse here, of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, God gives us two things that will disrupt, that will break up our unity. Okay? We see here the word strife. Okay? Strife. Strife disrupts unity. What is strife? Strife is electioneering or intriguing for office, a desire to put oneself forward, an exertion or contention for superiority. You know, sometimes there's strife because we want to be better than the person that we're arguing with. The root is pride, okay? If you want to be united, cease from strife. Hey, sometimes some fights are not worth picking. Hey, just stay, look, if, you know, I love Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, God gave heaven to come down, took himself the form of a man, became a servant. He humbled himself, okay? And Paul here is admonishing us, hey, stay away from strife. Be like Jesus Christ. Humble yourself. And the enemy of unity is strife. Stay away from, you know, believe in this chapter here, there were believers in the church who wanted a place of position. To gain this position, they put others down and create factions in support of themselves. And so, church, let's be a church that's pleasing to the Lord. Let's be a church that's going to do great feats for the Lord. And so, secondly here, vainglory. We see the word vainglory. Vainglory disrupts unity. What is vainglory? Vainglory is exclusive vanity excited by one's own performances, empty pride, undue elation of mind. Okay, vainglory is an inflated view of self based upon achievements or abilities. You know, one of the things that prevents us from being unified is dwelling on some of the things that we were successful at. Or if you would, yeah, I did that. You know, lifting yourself up. You know, really the root is this, pride. Pride. The reason why we can't, you know, the saying goes, can we all just get along? Well, the reason why we can't is because of pride. Of pride. And God wants us to be unanimous. God wants us to glorify him as one body. You know, when we have different parts and we're always bickering and fighting, how does the world, how does people outside of the local church view us as? How's our testimony? You know, I'll close with this thought. Part of the reason why we're able to see so many people come to Christ is because of our believers' testimony. Because of their testimony. The question I want to pose to you this evening is this. How's your testimony? How unified are we as a church? Because of our testimony, will our testimony allow us to reach more people for the Lord? Or will it push people away? So God desires a unified church. God desires a church to be in one accord. I know I'm rushing through this, but I just want to encourage you, more than ever, let's be a unified church, amen. More than ever, let's get this thing done together. We have so many great things that God has prepared for us. Let's do it together. Let's have another Together campaign, amen. No. But Brother Ray, why don't you come on up and